Is this the, what year is this from?
All years.
All years?
Yes. All right, we are rolling.
All right. This is the Legislative Committee. Our chair is running a little bit late, but I thought it might be a good idea to just get something done while we're waiting. Do we have a vice chair for this group?
Is it me?
I think it might be me.
It is.
All right. Well,
hey, you are the vice chair.
I got this then.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Legislative Committee meeting. We're calling to order at 3:32 p.m. This is Ellen Schmidt, the vice chair. Even though I was a little doubtful about my role, I'm pretty confident now. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Latonya Lipson Smith.
Excellent.
Darcy Gowner.
Carla Miller.
Sandy Humberhouse.
Cherry Pollitt, Office of General Counsel.
Kirby Eberdorfer, Deputy Director, Ethics Office.
Excellent, thank you, and welcome to our meeting. The first item of business on the agenda is a discussion of the strategic planning goals. Carla, were you going to give a summary of that, or
yeah,
was I?
I think Kirby and I can both work on bringing you up to speed. The Legislative Committee, over the years, has meandered through the code to revise certain parts of the code, and really a lot of work has been done on Part 4, Conflicts of Interest. I mean, we have spent years cleaning that up. The only part of that that is not cleaned up and will take some thinking and some good research is post-employment restrictions. We've done a little bit on that, and I don't have my code in front of me to quote the right sections, but 602, 411, and 412. But anyhow, there's some things we really need to think about. When people leave the city, can they come back and lobby? There's a bill right now that Rory Diamond, Council Member Rory Diamond, has sponsored, and it's like if you're on the Ethics Commission and you leave the Ethics Commission for a period of 2 years, you can't lobby the Ethics Commission, you can't come and represent someone in front of the Ethics Commission. And that corresponds to city council members. When they leave city council, they can't come back and lobby the city council for 2 years. And so Rory Diamond's bill just extends that to all the boards and commissions of the city.
Can I ask a clarifying question? When you say they can't come back and lobby, that means in a paid role. So I could come back and lobby the Ethics Commission. Not lobby, let me not use the word lobby. I could come back and speak to any issue I wanted to, but as long as no one is paying.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. Yeah, freedom of speech. You can come and have your opinion on something, but if you're going out and
but you can't advocate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just need to circle back and make sure that we've covered post-employment the best way we can, because there's some areas there, not to get into detail now, but we really have cleaned up Part 4 quite a bit. And so we're just looking, we did it actually numerically. We cleaned up 401, 402, 408, and then 411 and 412 at the end. We didn't quite really streamline as much as we could. So that's one area that's still pending. Lobbying, this is interesting. I think our lobbying code is not adequate. It's been around for 30 years, and we do the bare minimum with lobbying registration. I don't know how effective it is. About 4 years ago, one of the legislative subcommittees got a task force together to talk about lobbying and to ask lobbyists to come in and talk about what kind of restrictions they were opposed to, what they were in favor of. There's a manual on lobbying in municipalities across the United States. It's about a couple hundred pages long. And it's a reference on what all cities across the United States are doing. And I think taking a look at that and seeing what could be done with lobbying and then taking a look at the fairly weak laws that we've got and coming up with something in the lobbying area, that's a big project that's never really been tackled, but certainly out there. So lobbying is something. Civil penalties and general provisions. What do you think, Kirby? I don't think anything in there jumps out at me as being...
I think most of those have been... A lot of them have been updated since we first put this on the list. There was the concern you had with the listing of the state laws and whether or not they gave jurisdiction to the commission. So that was a topic. But I think that was cleaned up with that Gulliford bill last year. And then there was the concern to the Part 12 provision that requires employees to cooperate in investigations but not officials. But the Ethics Commission recently filed a change to that, Part 602-1205. So not anything off the top of my head.
Okay, so in other words, I mean, we, like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we had so many areas of the code that were dysfunctional. We've come a long way, so that's good news for your group. That in this clump, we only have the post-employment and maybe lobbying. Lobbying could take up the whole year to kind of figure out what needs to be done there. I think that what we have on the books is woefully inadequate, you know, and it's almost like we have an online system for lobbyists to register, but really so much more could be done to make that law effective instead of where we're at right now. Okay, so also consider additional changes to 602. We actually have done one, haven't we, making some of the stuff apply to independent contractors.
Yeah, and so this number one thing came up when the commission extended the 401 to independent contractors. Joe assigned the legislative committee to look at the remaining parts of 602 to see if that should also be extended.
Okay. And let's see. Number two is what currently is Rory Diamond's legislation. So that's going. Let's see. Obstruction of evidence. What have we done on obstruction of evidence? I don't think.
That was a change when the Mary Bland was chairing legislative, and they looked at the various parts of 407, and the obstruction or destruction of evidence is very limited to like documents. But there was a desire by the legislative committee to modernize that provision and talk about how data is kept in the current age in digital form. So there was some preliminary language proposed to update that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sort of gives me just a thought to share with you that in the legislative committee, there's two types of things you can do. One are the procedural cleanup, make it modernize, bring it up to speed as far as online, like housekeeping. And then there's the big picture, like, could we really change something with legislation? And those are the ones I think that are more exciting. We always have to kind of keep chugging along, cleaning up the things that don't make any sense. We got rid of, you know, a lot of crazy gift provisions that didn't make any sense about a year ago. So yeah, housekeeping, great. But that doesn't make you want to get up in the morning and like rush to do some research on housekeeping on 407, you know, like, oh, who cares? We have to. But I think if you could figure out like one or two issues that could really make a difference that you could work on for this year and change the law, especially in the next couple of months, I feel like it's a really good time for legislation to be enacted. You know, almost any good idea that we come up with now that is really moves the ethics agenda forward, I think could be passed right now. It's a very good time to get big picture items passed. So we've got to identify those, I think. And I look at other cities. If I ever see other cities doing something creative, you know, I like San Francisco. San Francisco registers political lobbyists. Political consultants, which I think is really interesting. Think of that. You know, and who they're working on, what campaigns they're working on, and how much money is being expended. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That would certainly, like, make people's hair like a fur. You know, so issues like that, to find an issue like that that makes the work of this committee exciting for the year, that you feel like you've made an imprint on the law for the future. So that's what we have to be looking at. So as we're going through all of these nitpicky housekeeping ones, I just wanted you to know that somewhere in here, up here, we need the big picture one, because those are more exciting.
Can I ask a procedural question?
Mm-hmm.
In my other committee, the complaints committee, I spend a lot of time reading the complaints procedures, and sometimes I think those could be tweaked. And I wonder, is that a complaints committee job, or
mm-hmm.
is that something that the complaints committee brings to this committee? How would that work if
complaints
I wanted
committee.
To spend a little time? Complaints committee would work that up and then
mm-hmm.
present it to the full
commission
not
here's
through
our
this committee. Because
no.
there's a difference between legislation and the complaints procedures.
Right.
So we can handle that internally.
Yeah.
Okay. That helps
legislation would be more like two things would be proposing things to our city council to change the law
mm-hmm.
and to monitor the Florida legislature and make sure that there aren't things going on at the state level that we need to be
okay.
on top of. Did you meet today with
No, we're meeting with Lene tomorrow, but Sandy and I did sit down and go through the spreadsheet Lene sent to us about all the ethics bills, so we're tracking them. And
okay.
I can summarize a couple of them if you need me to.
Okay, yeah, see that's important because we just need to kind of keep aware of what's happening in Tallahassee because at times they have reached down into the municipalities to try to affect our ethics commissions, and we have to be aware of when they do that. And one time there was a bad change that was coming down,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to actually change it
mm-hmm.
at the state level by joining up with Miami and Palm Beach County ethics commissions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
is
know,
that done through a resolution or a recommendation?
Resolution.
A resolution?
We did a resolution and then some intense lobbying. That was a great story. One day we'll tell
mm-hmm.
the story of that. And so Sandy is going to be in charge of monitoring the state legislation. And if anything gets close to us,
mm-hmm.
she'll let us know, and then the legislative committee would pick up on that.
I thought of one more thing,
yeah.
which is
mm-hmm.
when we were introducing ourselves, I didn't make a point of pointing out that even though Imani's not here yet, we do have a quorum. Do you think that's important, just for the record,
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
we definitely
yeah.
have a quorum of
yeah.
committee
yeah.
members, but I don't know that we'll vote on anything, but
yeah,
trying to...
No, that's good.
Keep my eye on the ball.
Your eye's always on the ball. Ellen.
That's right.
You're doing a heck of a job.
Okay, let's see what else on the past strategic plans. yes. That is dead, the second one. There was a task force on open government, and there was a report on that and a lot of recommendations made on that. I don't know if we ever found anything in there that was like a home run for legislation.
I don't think they actually ever looked at it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that is then a possibility of to drag out that task force report. That was from 2 years ago, and Anna Brochet assembled like 20 leaders in the
mm-hmm.
community to talk about transparency problems, and they had recommendations at the end of it. And maybe someone in a new unit of time could take a look at it, squeeze, like, is there anything in there that this committee could be recommending for legislation? There may or may not be, but it deserves to have someone at least put some effort into it. Oh, look, here, number three, we already talked about monitor
mm-hmm.
potential changes to state ethics laws, yep. Number four, review confidentiality of information regarding economic incentives voted on by city council. I actually, how did this one get in here? Because this is state law.
I know. Joe read an article in the Daily Record. Do you remember this is from last year. And so you're right. There is an exemption from public records and state law that says that information submitted by companies that are bidding for or requesting economic incentives is all confidential and not a public record until such time as the incentive is voted upon, because it could have trade secrets and a whole bunch of other things. And so it's absolutely protected. But the Daily Record did this big article about the exemption and all these deals that are being done under it. And so Joe just wanted them to look at it, even though it is state law. And I don't know if he wants them to encourage the legislature to take a change
mm-hmm.
to that exemption, which would be, I think, remote for them to do that. I'm not really sure why it's on here, but that's why. That's how it got on here.
My opinion is that's a lost cause. I mean...
But it was specifically referred to them in a meeting by Joe.
Well, okay, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
I'm telling you, we're not going to change the state law on that. It just isn't happening.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, potential topics. Transparency in city government, down at the bottom, number one, is really number two, the Task Force on Open Government. And I think that's worthy of someone spending a little bit of time to review that report and to see if there's anything that catches our fancy as far as what needs to be done from a legislative standpoint.
I did a summary of their recommendations, and do you want me to recirculate to that to them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
PACs, political action committees. Yeah. Okay, well, let's put that off to the side for a second. Campaign ethics. These are interesting. No provision in the Jacksonville Ethics Code addressing conduct unbecoming or unprofessional conduct. That's something the IG came to our meeting a couple of months ago, and she said, you know, we have people that are acting in outrageous, but there's nothing in the code that says that they can't do that. I think that is something that we were going to go with employee services and see if it was in the civil service rules. I don't think we can really legislate being a nice person or being professional.
That came out of the housing IG report, and they have their own employee services.
Yeah.
There, but obviously it's still. Hello.
There is a line of a theme that's come out of some of the IG investigations that could be a potential area for the committee to look into, and that is some type of regulation on relationships among coworkers and supervising them, right? Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be supervising somebody you have some type of personal relationship or approving their time. That was one thing that she was talking about, but also there was another one where an employee in a department had very close personal relationships with vendors, and he was awarding their contracts and supervising their contracts and issuing payments and authorizing payments, and so that was another area that they had asked to be looked into.
I really think that that's like an HR issue. Do you know what I mean? I think that's very hard to legislate from an ethics standpoint. You get people coming in and saying, well, I was sleeping with so-and-so, but I didn't, you know, I broke up with her and then I promoted her. And I don't think we want to get into that kind of personnel issue. I know that the IG wants something in the law on that that she can put in her reports, but I don't see that it's an ethics issue. What do you guys think?
It does sound HR-like. Is there, like, other ethics commissions, do they address this? Is there precedent for it?
No, most ethics commissions just do conflict of interest. They don't get into relationships between people. Amani, so here's, like, we kind of jumped into kill time until you got here, and Ellen has been doing a wonderful job as vice chair. We went down just talked about the strategic plans from the past and what we have been trying to do in the past, and most of it has been done. I think in taking a look at it, we have up in number one, post-employment is an area, lobbying. Just skipping all the way down to number two, taking a look at the old Task Force on Transparency to see if we need to do anything in there. Number three, Sandy is going to be monitoring all the state legislation to see if there's anything that concerns us. And four is, in my opinion, a hopeless cause to change state law on confidentiality of economic incentives. Forget it, you know, it's not happening. And then four, we were just talking about number four, like some of the things in there, like transparency in city government, is taking a look at that task force, and Kirby did a synopsis of all the recommendations from that task force. Kind of like just touching it again. We haven't looked at it for 2 years, touching to make sure that there isn't anything there. And then conduct unbecoming number four, I think that's an HR discussion, really. There's so many other legal things we have to do that to get into HR on top of it is, I don't know. And then we have PACs and campaign ethics, which have always been sort of like an interesting thing, like what you do with the influence of PACs in our local government. The state law is useless. So what can we do with all the money flooding into people's, it's not even campaigns anymore. You know that state law allows you to keep a campaign account open even after you get elected. So Mayor Curry is the first one to actually use this provision in Jacksonville. It's been used around the state, but what happens is you run a campaign, I want to run for mayor, you raise $2 million. It used to be you'd have to disperse the funds after the election and give it back to the donors or donate it to charity, get rid of the money. But the law is now that you can keep it into a campaign account because, gosh, you're going to run again one day. So you keep it into an account. You have a continual campaign account, and PACs can continue on because this person wants to go on and run for this or that, and so they have an ongoing forever campaign account.
And yeah. So it doesn't have to be, so it can be for any election.
Yeah, you might want to run for president in 10 years. I don't know. You know,
oh,
so
wow.
You have a.
It doesn't
a PAC
even have to be election specific, it can be issue specific.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
So when the PACs started up like that, and the super PACs, like about 6-7 years ago with Citizens United, what you have then is these never ending PACs. And so you have like the situation that we have, which is in the press, and I use Mayor Curry because he's the one that's been very successful at using this law. There are other people, almost every city council person has one of these committees now. So you have this committee of We Love Council Member Smith PAC, and that can last for the next 20 years. So you get ready to vote on something as a council person. A lobbyist can't give you a gift of over $100, but they can make a $50,000 contribution into your PAC. So there's where you have, like, it totally guts all of our state gift laws. Like, we had one thing that was reported in the Times Union, and this is factual, where you have Mayor Curry gets elected in 2015 for the first time. And that December, there was a big bill for the Jaguars, very important bill. Remember this? Yeah. And so a week before the vote, Shad Khan makes, like, I think, $60,000 contribution into Mayor Curry's PAC, you know, because he believed in the PAC, but, and it was a week before the vote. Now, what do you do about that? There's nothing we can do about it because that's the Supreme Court law, it's state law, that's it. The only thing that we can do that some ethics commissions around the country are thinking about is more disclosure of that at the local level. Like, yeah, you can do it, but we want to know, like, which PACs are making expenditures on your behalf, which ones are associated with you. It's very hard to track all of them because you can have, like, there's a one place down south where there's a CPA firm that runs, like, probably 1,000 of these PACs. They're all interconnected. So you take money into this PAC, you get into another PAC. So if I mean, that's an issue that's been near and dear to my heart because I think it just guts a lot of our laws, our ethics laws. And if we could be creative in that area, I think it would be brilliant. But that takes a lot of thinking and research to get your arms around it and to see what's really happening. Because everything that's happening now is completely legal.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's the best path for our democracy, but it is all legal right now.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything to reverse it because of Citizens United at the Supreme Court level, but you can ask for more information at the local level. So that is the only avenue that I've been able to see. So that anyhow, that's an interesting area. And I was telling everyone, Imani, and then I'm not going to say anything else, but I was that there's two types of things that the legislative committee can do. One is little housekeeping things on cleaning up the code. Very important. And then one is to pick a big issue that you really care about, and it takes research and some work and something that you can spend a couple months and really have a big product for the legislative committee. So everything that we've thought about in the last couple of years is on this page. And I see this is Anna's bill. I haven't seen this in a couple of years.
I know.
This got
canned
so quickly.
I actually like the content of it.
A lot of people like the contents of it. Anna was very controversial at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other problem with this is it lumped everything into one big bill. And that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was, I think, could have passed.
If it was in discrete pieces.
Yeah, like each one a separate bill, like disclosures required for contractors and applicants. Like if you want, there's, that could have been worked with a little bit. I think each one of these is worthy of some research and maybe getting a champion in the city council to work with this group on it. Rory Diamond is interested in working on some legislation. You know, so if you come up with some ideas pulled from this bill, these are all good ideas, I thought at the time. Although it got defeated like in 5 minutes.
Can you go off the record for just a minute?
Not in a public meeting.
I'm not in a public meeting.
Mm-mm.
The thing on contractors disclosing who they've made political campaign contributions to, this is based upon what Philadelphia is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we talk about that in an earlier meeting last year at some point?
Might have. Yeah.
I vaguely remember whether we were going to add or maybe we discussed a bill where we actually added the independent contractor.
What did we do last year? We didn't do anything on the campaign disclosures. This is a hard one because, like, let's say you have 5 people bidding on something, and they each disclose who they contributed to, and 3 of them contributed to... let's say they, in the last election, they contributed to Mayor Curry and 2 contributed to Anna Brochet, and they don't get the contract. And they're going to say, well, you're discriminating against my political expression
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I mean, there's legal problems with doing that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's
how do you have a right to a city contract?
No, you don't have a right to
okay.
a city contract, but you, there's a fairness issue there that you could have a bid protest because you think that
right.
someone's pulling your name out of the hat. And so this one, I
yeah.
think, needed more research. This really needed to, this was half-baked.
Seems
it was,
that way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it was a sexy idea, but it was half-baked.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, sounded good on paper, but it was just like the constitutional problems with it were... daunting. Notice the travel provision in here.
Right
yeah.
here.
Yeah. The
page.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Eight
yeah.
to 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right now. Whenever a political committee expends funds to pay for travel, whether a benefit. Okay, within.
What would, if that had passed and what would the Echo office do with the information if you've got the information?
File.
Would it become public record? Would it be
mm-hmm.
filed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Posted?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could post it online. Of course, that you could post it online, or the press would occasionally come and say, where are all your records on?
We want it, yeah.
Yeah,
I see.
And part of that's already public record. In other words, the political committees have to disclose their receipts and their expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not you'd have to know where to look for it, and so it's not all necessarily all in one place, and there are multiple different packs that work together sometimes, and so this, the idea, I think, was also just to have a central repository,
yeah.
Right, for transparency.
Because the elected official is always going to know when they went somewhere and who paid for it. They're going to know that. But to look through 1,000 packs to see that an expenditure was made for travel, and that's all they put, we spent money on travel. They don't say who, where, anything. And the state doesn't require that. So it's useless information.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way, it's all dark money being utilized for travel statewide. It's just statewide because there's a loophole in that. There's no disclosure. But the elected officials know when they get on the planes, and they know who has paid for it, or they can find out. So it's easier for them to disclose it and make it transparent than to give the burden of citizens trying to go through 1,000 packs to figure out, oh, look, this pack paid for travel on this same day. Could it have been this person? I mean, you never can't hook it up. I thought that this one was very doable. This one was no downside on that one.
You had D?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that may be one that the council president is going to be sponsoring soon.
Do you think it would just be a separate bill or all together with the transparency?
Yeah, I like separate. You know, they rise and fall on their own merits,
mm-hmm.
instead of,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it'd just be part 7 travel, just like it is. I mean, I think that that's a good recommendation, even for this. I don't even think it needs to be, it's not like it needs to be researched much. It has been researched a lot to get it into this form. OGC has already approved of the format of this. They didn't approve of the idea too much. They approved of the format. So, I mean, I think that one is probably ripe to discuss and maybe get up to the full commission. If you like that idea of having more transparency at the local level.
Is there a particular reason why it was centered around travel? Is that the primary thing a political committee would pay for? Do you remember?
It is what typically came up. Over the years, it's always the traveling out of the city, but
okay.
It's also used for parties, events, $1,000 black tie dinner. You know, you can't accept a ticket in that amount from a lobbyist or a vendor if they're having a big shindig, you know, and it's a great party, you know. But your PAC can pay for you to go because you'll meet people there that politically are connected. So it could be travel and tickets. So it's not limited just to travel, but I think that that's probably the, so it depends on whether you want to make it travel and, you know, other expenditures in excess of 100, for instance.
That's interesting. I guess I was just trying to get my mind around what sort of things the political committee would pay for and what I would care about as a citizen. What would I want to know? I might want to know who all was at the party.
Tickets and events. Tickets and events.
I think it might ads for different different candidates,
okay.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be more obvious? Because don't a lot of ads say paid for by the blah blah blah, so you'd at least
mm-hmm.
know that much.
So if you can read the fine print.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I am getting older by the minute. So is that something we want to champion as a team, as a committee? There might also be merit in like parsing out all the different things that were in here and then kind of voting on or making a hierarchy. This is the one we want to start with first, and then we'll get to the next one and the next one.
if somebody has a passion for one of the things over another.
I like tackling this for cleanup, but it would be nice if we can do a big ticket item,
mm-hmm.
a big picture. That would be really invigorating for the year. And hearing the discussion on PACs really intrigues me, but I feel like it's a Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to really break it apart in edible pieces. I don't know. It's a Goliath, but I really like the idea. I really like the topic.
I don't know a ton about PACs, but I'd be happy to play subcommittee with you.
Uh-huh.
If that's a thing, are we allowed to have a subcommittee of two?
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's
mm-hmm.
a publicly noticed meeting, we
yeah.
can do our thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not that you would be excluded from playing with us in this PAC.
The PAC playground?
PAC playground.
I like that. But yeah, I wouldn't mind researching that more.
I think with the information, the news, anything on transparency in government is going to be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That would fall in line with number two, the task force.
Mm-hmm.
Transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if there were any good ideas in those task force recommendations for legislation.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good things in there.
Yeah, I tried to pull up the summary and I can't get it to come up on my phone.
Yeah, I think that's a good one just to send out to everybody and refresh your memories if you weren't there when we discussed it. But they spent, I don't know, like 10 months meeting
mm-hmm.
to talk about things that they thought from a citizen standpoint needed to be done for transparency. So they put a lot of thought into that report. We'll just send it out to everybody tomorrow
mm-hmm.
so
okay.
you can all read it, chew on it. What about lobbying? Anybody interested in taking a look at lobbying? That is, it's not a Goliath like PACs, because
mm-hmm.
you can get your arms around it, but it is a body of work to understand, to chew on.
I'm not disinterested in it. I think the reason why I'm not saying anything out loud is I was thinking about tackling this one first that LaTanya and I were talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
then
a big enough one.
Joining
yeah.
another one. And or do you think that we're prioritizing and that if we picked lobbying, we could finish it and move on to PACs? Or you think it doesn't
matter?
No, I think
it would gobble up
with
your whole year.
Is oh, is that what would happen?
Yeah.
You think
okay.
which one?
Lobbying.
Yeah.
Oh.
It seems to be the hot button issue right now.
Mm-hmm. And that would be an all hands on deck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
a big one, I think, too. Don't you think we have a lot of materials on it? We have collected things from cities. We've had interns from Coastal come over and do whole reports on what cities are doing all over the country on lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a body of information that is a lot of work to get through just to figure out what everyone's doing and then to figure out what could be done and then match them up with legislation. I think it needs to be done. It is a big project.
Big project. And Darcy, earlier when we were talking, I was trying to understand about lobbying and that if I wasn't paid, I could come and speak after my term was finished. But you used the word advocate. You said advocate. Is that in this context synonymous, lobbying and advocating, or are they different concepts?
I would imagine they're the same concept. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you lobby for someone, you
mm-hmm.
advocate for a certain position, that or representing someone in front of the commission. You know, on a complaint type issue, right?
Position,
right?
It would be considered.
Yes,
because
sometimes
lobbying.
There's advocates before the Civil Service Board or housing, quasi-judicial boards. There's some advocacy there. So. Civil Service is the only board I can think of right now.
And when we say paid, should we infer money or goods or services? Like,
in
if I receive any kind of
compensation,
then it's considered lobbying or advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But even so,
the benefit.
Right. I mean, even so, even if I say as an attorney, I appear before the Ethics Commission and am representing somebody, if I'm doing that pro bono, I still think I can't do that within 2 years.
Yeah, because you're still advocating.
Right. You're still.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's as much regarding compensation
mm-hmm.
as it is the position that you're taking
okay.
to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
that's
as a concerned citizen, right? Like, you could stand up and say, here are my concerns within 2 years of your service on the
mm-hmm.
commission, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you couldn't.
You couldn't take it up for somebody else.
Right.
It's more the lobbying is if I was standing up and saying what my neighbor wanted me to say rather than my own self. I'll work on it. It's not, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I'll be on the lobbying committee.
Yeah, but
committee
a lobbying
when we get
there is for compensation.
For
right.
compensation.
You know,
always,
and,
right.
and always. But the bill that Rory has, and I don't have in front of me, but I, you know, like you can't make an appearance on behalf of another person in front of your same board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're getting paid.
Yeah.
If you have a direct benefit, it requires some type of payment.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. His bill does require it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his bill actually needs an addition because he doesn't have just regular employees that are 401 filers in there, so
mm-hmm.
that needs to go in. But really, I mean, if you have a PAC committee
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at transparency and all the recommendations from that transparency committee, I think that
mm-hmm.
keeps you busy for a period of
mm-hmm.
time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's like 50 other ideas that you... that too, but I would say just get in there and chomp around a little bit and see if you can't find some good things in those two areas.
Okay,
they're the most it's low hanging fruit, I think, in those two areas.
I'm good with maybe setting up a meeting about that after the first week in March, if that's a good timing for you. Or you guys could help us set up something, or what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. After the first week in March is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sandy can get with you tomorrow and
okay.
on some dates for that.
Okay.
And we'll get some other material
mm-hmm.
for you and
okay.
send it to you ahead of time so you've got some stuff to talk about.
Does it give you
okay.
enough time to get material together? Or did you want to go a little later
into
March?
Maybe the second
March?
Week or so. But then we're getting into the other meeting we have
the
scheduled for the 19th.
Uh-huh.
Sometime in March. I think if we send you some information to chew on and to read
uh-huh.
for March, maybe meet the third week of March or fourth. No, third week would be our big meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be time consuming enough for everybody.
And we don't know yet if the full commission meeting is still scheduled.
On the 10th.
It's likely to be canceled,
okay.
but Joe was not comfortable making that determination until next week.
Okay.
Do you have any spring break considerations?
No, I'm good to go.
Yeah, and I'm ancient, and my children are all grown, so I have no spring break.
Maybe a short meeting the second week of March? What do you think?
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever works
yeah,
out
yeah.
for you guys to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
And do we send it out to everyone on the committee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the transparency thing we'll send out to everybody and you know, see if you get inspired, if there's like, you get this urge that, oh my gosh, I just read this and there needs to be legislation on this, then maybe you want to generate a meeting with one or all of the committee members. I can't remember if it's really inspirational or not. I haven't read it for a year or so.
Mm-hmm. All I can think about is the website and the transparency and the user friendliness, but there's a lot more than that
mm-hmm.
in there. I just remember that being a big focus. And there's 14 or 15 recommendations.
Yeah, there might be something in there.
Yeah.
we make a motion?
I think that's a good idea.
I move to, for the 2020 year, to work on the PAC materials and transparency.
Any second?
Second.
Any discussion?
You mean developing legislation in these situations? Okay.
Thank you. Correct. Yes.
That's why the lawyers in the room. I guess they're surrounded by lawyers
to the left of me.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
That'll keep you busy.
Sure. We'll keep us busy.
We like being busy.
Yeah.
For the entire year.
And I'll search and see what other cities are doing in that area. Send it to you.
Okay.
See what our sister organizations are up to. Mm-hmm.
We might have some materials already, I think. I'm
yeah,
sure
I think
we
have files on. I've been collecting things for
yeah.
years. But maybe, I always look to California and New York first, because if anybody thinks of, or Miami.
Yeah,
they always think of stuff first.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Chicago just have a big revamp of their ethics?
They did. They did. Mm-hmm. A lot of arguing about it and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We can pull their code, see what they've been up to.
Okay. I just vaguely remember that it was in the national news because it was so contentious.
Everything they do is contentious up there. Then they fired their ethics director, they fired their inspector general, and they don't do anything easily up there. It is just tortured. I used to know the ethics officer, Steve Berlin, from Chicago, and he was long suffering.
I'm sure.
Now we'll take a look at their code. Every ethics commission in the country is looking at PACs and how they have shifted the political scene,
mm-hmm.
and trying to figure out how to get more transparency in that area. So we're not the only ones thinking about it. And surely someone's come up with something we can copy. I'll see what Miami's done. Is it still raining? You guys are heroes.
That's rain.
That's rain.
Okay, that's
rain.
On the atrium. That you can tell when you look up at the atrium, and it looks like elephants are pounding on the glass.
You can just hear it.
I can hear it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sad. You guys can spend the rest of the afternoon here until it stops. We've got treats for you in the office.
I brought treats,
thank
too.
You.
We do?
Oh, Kirby. Yeah, we have candy.
Yay.
Oh.
I brought this, but
I always thought it was
Amani, yay. What a good idea to have popcorn. What should we bring for the meeting on the 19th?
And napkins and paper towels in case you need
them. Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A nuggets, yeah.
There's a big platter of them.
Chick-fil-A.
With all the Polynesian sauce.
I love Polynesian sauce. It's my favorite.
All right, we'll get some Chick-fil-A.
I don't think there's any public comment.
Listen, if we don't have...
Right, there's no public to make public comments.
No public comments, no announcement.
Cherry's trying to get us on back on our agenda. Well,
I know.
Do you want salted or unsalted?
No announcement.
Are there any public comments or announcements?
I don't
no
see any
public.
From the public.
Entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Oh, you don't need a motion.
Okay, meeting adjourned. At what time?
4:21.
4:21 p.m.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for coming in the room.